Happy Sabbath, everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Thank you, thank you.
Blessed Sabbath.
I just want to say welcome to everyone on this beautiful Sabbath day. We wish we could be out there in the nature enjoying the sunshine. If there's any visitors on the line, I want to welcome you on this Zoom church. And may you enjoy the rest of the day and take something home from whatever is being taught today on this beautiful, beautiful Sabbath day. As we are about to open the divine service, I'll do the prayer as well. I'll just go straight into the prayer now. Let us pray. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done in us. Let your will be done in Angela Campbell's life. Let your will be done in everyone's life that's on this Zoom. On this beautiful Sabbath day, Lord, you've chosen to wake us up and to attend and to worship you. Lord, we come humble and bold, seated at your feet. Nothing in our hands we bring, Lord. But we come to you, Lord, for refreshing. Father God, forgive us of our sins, both knowingly and unknowingly. Oh God, there's so many of us who are not able to worship you in this moment. They're not in their right minds. Or they may even be asleep. They didn't get a chance to wake up this morning. But we are here, Lord, and we're giving you all the praise and we're giving you thanks for this opportunity. Father God, as we're about to continuing with our day of worship, Lord, we want to thank you for the spiritual bread, the bread of life. And we want to thank you also for this physical bread, Lord, that you provide for us daily. Lord, there are many out there who cannot provide for themselves. But I pray, oh Heavenly Father, whatever they get, they will be thankful and they'll be grateful for it. Because anything you bless is blessed. Father God, this week has been a very, very trying and struggling week for me. But I'm grateful that we've come to the end of this week and I can look forward to the new week, the new beginning, and a new start, new ideas. Continue to be with us today, Lord, and for the rest of the week. Be with the speaker as well. Be with all the visitors on this platform, Lord. Bless, guide, and keep us now, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 Thought of sadness pouring forth your heart.
Church. The scripture reading is taken from Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. I'll give you a bit of time to find it. Okay, Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 to 4 reads, "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sin, and lest you receive of her plague. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, who knoweth all, dwelleth in all things, knows all our hearts. Lord, here we are before you, and you've reminded us that where two or three of us are gathered together, you will be in our midst. So, Lord, here we are on your Sabbath day, awaiting a word from you. A word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of strength so that we may take this through the following week, the week to come. Lord, many of us have our troubles, have our illnesses, have our obstacles to overcome, but we thank you, Lord, and bless your name that you've given us the Sabbath, a day where we can lay down all of our burdens and sit at your feet and hear your word. Lord, and today I pray that you use our speaker today, Elder Christian Kunia, or Kunia. You use him today, touch his mouth as you did Isaiah, touch his mouth with your coal, put your words in his mouth, use him, Lord, to speak to us all, speak to us so that we can hear your voice and be encouraged. Lord, bless him, bless his ministry, and bless your words that emanate from his mouth today, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Happy Sabbath, Church. Good morning. So on the screen we have the church bank details for those who wish to offer their tithes and offerings. So please make a note, take a picture of the church bank details. Malachi chapter 10 verse 3 reads, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I pray, Father, for the tithes and offerings that we have set out before you. May it be used to spread the gospel of Christ, Father, throughout the world, so that many, many more people may come to be blessed by your holy and precious word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Many years ago, one act of disobedience brought the curse of sin and death upon all mankind. And with that curse came great sorrow, grief, confusion, sickness, pain, anxiety, and fear. But through the sacrifice of one perfect man, our Messiah, sin's curse was broken. And with his death and resurrection came the promise that one day the effects of the curse would be completely gone. It was on the bleak and gloomy island of Patmos that God revealed a glimpse of the glories of heaven to his deeply loved apostle, John. It was on this island, drenched in darkness and the horrors of persecution and loneliness, that John was encouraged with the promise of a much better place. Heaven is a real place where Jesus lives, and in his presence is great joy and pleasure forevermore. God's glory is unveiled and visible. It is a place where we enjoy face-to-face friendship with him. There are no tears, because there is no death, pain, or sorrow. There are no broken relationships and no broken hearts. All who are his are new and incapable of hurting or being hurt. The great city of our God, the New Jerusalem, shines in spectacular glory. A crystal clear river flows from the Messiah's throne down through the city, and those who drink of it will never thirst again. Also, in the midst of this new paradise stands the tree of life. The tree that mankind had once been forever banished from approaching is now placed out in the open to be freely eaten from. It is filled with fruit, and because it feeds off the river of life, its leaves will never fade away. It is eternal, like everything else in this new and wonderful place where Jesus lives. The sun and the moon no longer light the earth because they are no longer needed. The brightness of the Savior's glory illuminates the great city, which is built with gold, precious stones, and pearls. And his light sends prisms of color out over the expanse of his kingdom. It is the same city that multitudes of God's people throughout all history have longed for, a city with eternal foundations, whose architect and builder is God himself. Open your eyes, your ears, and your heart. Behold Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He is the King. Follow him into his kingdom. Be willing to give up everything to obtain something far greater. The treasures of heaven that cannot be destroyed, cannot disappoint, and cannot be stolen. Yes, I am coming quickly, Jesus says. And all those who are his respond, Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Happy Sabbath, everybody.
Happy Sabbath.
It's my pleasure to introduce our speaker for today. Our speaker is none other than Elder Tristan Cunha. He's from the beautiful island of Mauritius. and he is currently the elder of Wood Green Church, which he's been a Christian for many, many years. His first church was the New Gallery. For those of us who are young enough to remember, it's based in Regent Street. So Elder Cunha is a man of the world. And you could say that his speciality is that of end time prophecy. So as we listen to Elder Cunha, we know that God is going to speak to him mightily. Because those of us who know Elder Cunha, and he preaches with power. And no doubt today, God is going to use him. So before we hear God's servant, we're going to have a special, after which then we shall hear the voice of Elder Christian Cunha. You want to come in?
Yes, no problem. Thank you very much for your warm word of introduction and your hospitality. And I see your church is well organized. Everything is moving like clockwork. So Donna, I'm going to share my screen with you now because I'm going to use the PowerPoint.
Yes, yes, you have permissions. Go ahead.
Thank you, Donna. Yes, I'm also indebted to Pastor Vincent, your new pastor, for inviting me at Ilford Lane and then to Stokey. It's my pleasure to share the word with you. Pandemic political prophetic panorama. The global pandemic has turbocharged final events and upended the planet. Today, we're going to look at the Great Reset. Most of you have heard about it. Some of you haven't. The Great Reset. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of a luxury. And then what says in the word of God, the curtain is drawn aside and we behold above, behind, and through all the play and counterplay of human interest and power. The agencies of the all-merciful one, silently, patiently working out the counsel of his own will, prophets and kings. The book of Daniel and Revelation, what these two prophets saw in dream and vision today, brethren, ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing in virtual reality. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So says Christ. As never before, all principal prophetic pillars are falling in place along God's prophetic timeline. Heavenly Father, be with us as we study your word, which is applicable for this time. Guide us through your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Revelation. The most intriguing, fascinating, and cryptic and symbolic book of the Bible. Yet it's a prophetic book which is ignored and avoided by the vast majority. Yet it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb who died to rescue us from sin. Blessed is he who reads and they who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So seal not the saying of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's repeated. Daniel was asked to shed the word till the time of the end. So today, you go, the book of Daniel is fully open, and the book of Revelation revealing God's plan for the salvation of man is also fully open. Revelation has a strong end time, eschatological overtone. It affects you and me and the entire human race. Its prophecies are unconditional and unavoidable. Whether you accept Revelation teaching or not, it's going to be fulfilled because God is in control. And after this thing, that's when the angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And thank you, Rammel, for reading this to us so well. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, for all the nations have drunk of the wine over fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And this is the punchline. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of delicacies, through the abundance of luxury. Inclusive capitalism council established there with the Vatican. What I'm going to share with you now is not conspiracy theory. This is what is happening already around the world. The Vatican alliance with the merchants of the earth, as depicted in Revelation 18. Pope Francis has challenged global business leaders to build a more inclusive economic system. Already you can see between the line, no buying and no selling, making the world fairer, more inclusive and sustainable. Transform our economies, transform our way of life. They mean well, but prophetically speaking, they are misleading the world. An economic system that is fair and trustworthy, said the Pope, link current events with Bible prophecy. We are a people of prophecy. We've got to interpret, to feed ourselves, to be engaged by the Holy Spirit, and to spread the good news of Christ soon coming. Now, this is Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. She is the founder of the Council for Inclusive Capitalism with the Vatican. We are steward of this planet. It's our duty to keep it for future generations. Everything is limited to this earthing system. And here is Lynn Forrester talking in an audience to the Pope, and the Pope is chuffed. The Rockefeller and Rothschild operate under the umbrella of the Illuminati, the Freemasonry, all this cabal work together. The Rothschild are the guardians of the papal treasure. These are well-known facts, so they are in cahoot. This present window of opportunity during which a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built will not be open for too long. We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nation will accept the new world order. David Rockefeller, the family patriarch, a world-renowned financial genius and lifelong globalist. I think he died now, but this thing is still. So here is Pope's envoy, Cardinal Peter Turkson, the Pope's right-hand man, decries the lost chance to reform global financial system when the global financial crisis of 2008, says Cruxton, was a potential watershed moment. Yet this chance for wider reflection and promotion of reform was missed. So what we're talking about here, we miss out the crisis or the financial meltdown of 2008. This time we will not miss the crisis by the pandemic. World Economic Forum, here's the Pope's prescription for resetting the global economy in response to COVID-19. The Pope insists in a new book, things will never be the same in a post-pandemic world, calling for a new world order and a new world religion. He reiterates his case for the Great Reset with a shift away from financial speculation, fossil fuel, etc., etc. Big business gets its wings as leaders from major US companies partner with Pope Francis, inclusive capitalism, to form a new council focused on creating a more equitable economy. Business Insider. What they are talking about is correct, is fair, but there are strings attached. The Philadelphia Trumpet says the savior is the Pope, Pope Francis' plan to heal the world's broken economies. Wow. Sometimes when you talk about the merchants of the world, you think about some Middle Eastern merchant riding their camels and selling their wares. But here we're talking something far greater and significant than this. The merchant of the earth here is Camille Disibio, Ernst and Young, Professional Services Network, Global Chairman and CEO. What did he say? He said the majority of people around the world say that their families will be worse off in 5 years' time. This is the scenario that we simply can't accept. So we've got to make sure everybody got food and bread on their table. It's an American, Darren Walker, Ford Foundation president. What does he say? Too much wealth has accrued to too few people around the world. It's indeed about social justice, which is rooted in the gospel. So we've got to do something about it. Sharon Barrow, I teach you, General Secretary, if you make money, what's the point if you are not prepared to share it? Mark Carney, remember him, he used to be the manager of the Bank of England, CO26 financial advisor to the Prime Minister, UN Special Envoy for Climate Change and Finance. He says, we need to bring everyone along and there will be adjustment. Can you see the mood of change is being spelled out by this guy? Now, this guy is Ajay Banga, MasterCard chairman of the board and CEO. Everybody is singing from the same song sheet. We need to the private sector in generating capital, technology, etc., their passion to come to the party. And he's a very bright Indian man, but now I see he resides in America. They are all singing from the same song sheet, I repeat, bringing their support to Rome. This is our mission, said Banga. This is our purpose. The fact that all different religions need to come together on all matters, wow, is a crying need of the times in our world. Faith cannot be used to pull us apart. Seventh-day Adventist Remnant Church, take need. Faith is meant to pull us together. So, ignore doctrinal teaching, but come together to save the world. They mean well, but they are wrong. Allianz, the world's largest insurance company, headquartered in Munich, what did they say? We want to operate in a sustainable way where centers are aligned across generations, not just across borders, and the main actors take a long-term perspective. Paul, the world's largest chemical company, Edward Breen, aligning our vision with the United Nations development of sustainable coal. Save the Planet, Kenneth Frazier, pharmaceutical company. Leaders in business communities can be a unifying force. They can be a source of opportunity, a source of understanding. And we, as business leaders, can step up and resolve the economic problem. Angel Gurria, OECD, Organization for Economic Development, Secretary General, we need a new system that focuses on the well-being of people. It's a big challenge. And Roger Ferguson Jr., Federal Reserve System, I think business plays a very important role in resolving challenges. become part of the solution. Bank of America, ex-president and CEO, everybody has to grasp this opportunity. CEOs from Alibaba, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Coca-Cola, Goldman Sachs, UI Technology. You get the picture. Everybody is coming on board that all-inclusive source. My message to the World Economic Forum in Davos, relayed by Cardinal Turkson. He could not go the last one last January, but he sent his deputy to talk, and Turkson was there, Peter Turkson. We want to embark on this journey to provide the guidance and assistance of the church on social thought and whatever other consideration might be necessary in our ethical and social guidance. The church got to move and mix big time with politics. All these high flyers and CEOs, business managers and directors, the merchants of the earth, being sucked into the vortex of the Vatican, an unparalleled development in history and end time prophecy. The role of the council, Pope Francis, becomes a moral guide to inclusive capitalism. By accepting the church moral authority, big business is embracing religion to create a trusted economic system. Church and state merger will be a threat to religious liberty, because if you don't tow the rope in that merger, you, Seventh Day Adventists and others, then you are going to be dealt with. So, this is the Francesca Economic Package. The economic of Francesca, the Pope becomes the torchbearer. An international meeting hosted by the Pope in November 2020, only last year, a few months ago, with young scholars, entrepreneurs, change makers, and economists from all over the world to exchange views and express themselves on the major topics of global economy. Global economy. IMF, World Bank, G20 countries are to create central bank digital currency rules. No cash, go digital. They have your digital profile already through Amazon, through eBay, as you purchase things, and your cell phone give them all the information about you. So controlling you, brethren, ladies and gentlemen, is no big deal. All the systems are in place. And the pandemic would accelerate things. God allowed the pandemic of Satan to try to achieve his goal. But God is sitting high on his throne and he's controlling everything. Not one thing escape his can. Become a steward of inclusive capitalism. Join the movement. Core message. Apart from individual moral consideration, the Pope brings to the fore a new ethic for international consideration. A new global political order is to be established based on the principle of subsidiarity, rule of law, and a renewed trust in international cooperation. Now, then Jewel picks it up. Cast out of heaven, Satan set up his kingdom in this world. And ever since, he has been entirely striving to seduce human beings from their allegiance to God. He uses the same approach that he used in heaven. The influence of mind on mind, men become tempters of their fellow men. The strong corrupting sentiments of Satan are cherished and they exert a mastery compelling power. And this is the punchline. Under the influence of this sentiment, men bind up with another in confederacy. You're seeing it in trade unions and in secret societies. They are at work in the world agency that God will not much longer tolerate. It was Satan who was working to bring in certain influences to bind different interests under one control. This was not in harmony with God's will, and he declared that he would not sanction anything of the kind. manuscript release, page 63. So the Great Reset, it works like this. The world economy has been broken because of the coronavirus, so we've got to apply the cure. There is an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of COVID-19 crisis. So we live in a global village, brethren, and we've got global problems, and global problems got to be resolved globally. All the church become one pack. Davos, you heard about Davos, where every year Switzerland showcases the World Economic Forum. Around 3,000 participants drawn from all over the world and from every sphere of influence, business, government, civil society, academia, arts and culture, and media are in attendance there about 400 kilometers from Geneva. The World Economic Forum has revealed its Davos 2021 agenda, confirming the annual gathering of global political and business elites will be a digital event heralding the public unveiling of its Great Reset initiative. They were supposed to have it in May virtually, but I think they are trying to finalize the date. And here is this man from America, World Economic Forum, Digital Davos, they call it, 2021 agenda to reveal the Great Reset Initiative. John Kay. Professor Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chair of the World Economic Forum, a German engineer, the movers and shakers of the world, things will never be back to normal again. Schwab has deep Jesuit roots. I will explain that later or in the afternoon lecture. We can emerge from this crisis a better world if we can act quickly and jointly, says Klaus Schwab. And Ellen White said the final events will be rapid ones. The reset is triggered by COVID-19. COVID-19 has shown us that the old system is not fit for purpose. It's kaput. We need to restart, to reboot, to recalibrate. Man becomes the master of his own destiny. The world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contract and working conditions. Every country from the US of A to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed, said Mr. Schwab. Look at this pandemic for the opportunity for the Great Reset, Kristalina Georgieva, the new head of the IMF. This is the worst recession since the Great Depression. So she said to the world, wake up, let's move forward together. And today the prince is mourning the loss of his dad. We pray for the royal family, for the work established and done by Prince Philip. We have a unique window of opportunity to reset ourselves on a more sustainable path. World leaders push for the Great Reset. We need a shift, says Prince Charles, in our economic model. This is Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister. Pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. Man is calling the tune. World Economic Forum, Pope calls for a new world order, says wasting the crisis of COVID would be worse than the pandemic. Wow. Globalist Cardinal Peter Turkson, they're all there. And Greta Thunberg is still going around the world. And she said at the World Economic Forum, she told them point blank, our house is still on fire. We've got to save mankind. We've got to save the planet. And you see Angela Merkel, they're all there. Global elite, Great Reset agenda. Melissa Fleming of the UN stated, every country has been touched by COVID-19. Every country understands that they can't go it alone. So let's all package together. Then when the mark of the beast is applied, everybody suck it in, sitting down. This is the trend that you got to observe, my friends. The challenger the world faces is an ever more interdependent world. National interests are not easily separated from the common good. Shared values, shared responsibility, and shared sovereignty. Did you get that last word? Shared sovereignty, a power will control the world. The pandemic, a human tragedy, must be a wake-up call. It is imperative that we reimagine, redesign, rebuild, reinvigorate, and rebalance the world. This is from the United Nations Secretary General. UN Chief called for a new model of global governance. In what the Guardian newspaper called his most stinking speeches to date, UN General Antonio Guterres highlighted the global crisis of inequality as a growing threat to our future that should be addressed with a new global deal before it destroys our economies and our societies. No one will emerge as a winner in a trade war. He defends globalization, Xi Jinping, the leader of China. The future does not belong to globalists, but to patriots, says Trump. The only discordant note in Davos, by saying that Trump nailed a big fat nail in his coffin. A globalist doesn't believe in globalism. He believes in making America great. He's a patriot. And this spell is doom. The highest temple of American democracy being desecrated in January the 6th, when the extreme right invaded Capitol Hill, never ever happened before. Presidential response. Trump is first president to be impeached twice, you know. The disruptor and inciter in chief. Now listen to this one. Trump administration is a danger to the world, but it will disappear in 2020. George Soros, a Hungarian American multi-billionaire who subsidizes the Jesuit order and is always in attendance at the World Economic Forum because his financial clout gives him a vantage point to speak there and people sit up and listen to him. The 2020 US election will determine the fate of the whole world. So the time had come for the kingmakers, for the president makers to shift Mr. Trump out of the way. I don't know whether they did it through wrong voting system or shifting the vote, I don't know. But the powers that be manipulating the thing in the background. However, God is still in control. New World Order economist Jeffrey Sachs tells the Vatican that Trump is a threat to the world order, to get him out. It is a dangerous country, America. It will be more dangerous if Trump wins the election. So the Great Reset, ladies and gentlemen, global governance, whether we like it or not, LGBT inclusion, everybody come on board, future economic progress, climate change, the ocean plastic and the environment to be brought under control, COVID-19 is there to accelerate like a catalyst, and internet governance, wow. Internet government means they infuse themselves, intrude in your private matter. A trend is emerging, media control, says this news anchor on Fox News, the end of free speech. Silicon Valley tried to shut down Parler, shut down social media. Deplatform Trump, Google, Facebook, Twitter, shut him down. What I'm saying here, if they can shut down the president of the US of A, Mr. Trump, then they've got the power to intervene and to control. They also tried to control Walter Weiss, our great speaker and lecturer for the SDA Church. So the Vatican is wooing Silicon Valley, the mecca of global communication technology, to take control of the social media. This will happen in due course. Don't just sit there lying down and snoring. We are the church got to wake up. Enter Joe Biden, 46th US president, with Vice President Kamala Harris. They make history, black and white together. And I think the time has come for this to happen because of what is happening right now in America. US Bishop, welcome Biden. It's time for unity. Right. The first Catholic president of the White House, 1960s, handsome young man, John F. Kennedy. He said, as presidential candidate, John F. Kennedy addressed the Houston Ministerial Association of Protestant Leaders, made sure that people knew that yes, he was a Catholic, but no, his faith has nothing to do with leading a nation. His mantra was, I believe in an America where there is separation of church and state is absolute. And this was one of the main reasons why they took him out. Because the Jesuit put you in office, they want you to toe the line. But he said, church and state not to be combined, though he was a Catholic, where no church or church school is granted any public funds or preference, where no public official either requests or accepts instruction on public policy from the Pope, and where religious liberty is so indivisible that an act against one church is treated as an act against all. He said too much. Get rid of him. Pope Francis is the single most popular figure in the world today, says Joe Biden. The Jesuit Review, America, Matt Mahoney interviewing him. Then he adds, Pope Francis is the embodiment of Catholic social doctrine that I was raised with. Time has come for the mark of the beast to be applied, and the main pillars, the main ingredients are being put in place, as you can see right now. Biden builds back better, economic reset. He reaffirmed US commitment the United Nations, NATO, World Health Organization, and the Paris Climate Change Agreement. This climate change agreement was not signed at all by Mr. Trump. What are this man is putting it from the back burner to the front burner. President Biden threatened financial visa sanctions against Nigeria and Ghana recently over anti-gay laws. So he has become all things to all men, and he's now threatening these two countries. The administration should revitalize America's international religious diplomacy. Wow, now here is a man of politics talking about religion. Together with Pope Francis, the Biden administration should organize a global gathering of religious leaders to discuss change. And this sort of global gathering advantage should keep aloof. Recommendation for the Biden administration on engaging with religious communities. The admin should work with Congress to pass legislation that should uphold religious liberty. What is religious liberty in the book of Mr. Biden? This is the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Article 2188. In respecting religious liberty and the common good of all Christians should see recognition of Sundays and the church holidays as legal holidays. So their religious liberty is promoting Sunday keeping. I'm not saying that, it's there in black and white. Great rapport between the Pope and Biden, who is broadly humanistic and a globalist. Biden will bring down the wall between the church and state faster. So God allowing to put a foot into the Oval Office. Biden is the brutal enforcer of the Jesuit Illuminati globalist warmongers, says Yoki Shimatsu. He attended the Syracuse Jesuit University. For the first time in the history of the world, you've got a Jesuit Pope and a Jesuit First Man in the Oval Office now. This is the founder of the Jesuit order. Go and set the whole world on fire. Saint Ignatius Loyola, 1539, 1540. And then what picks it up? Great controversy. Under various disguises, the Jesuit worked their way into offices of state, climbing to be counselors of kings and shaping the policy of nations. They established colleges for the sons of princes and schools for the common people. And wherever they went, there was the revival of popery. And this is happening now. At this time, the order of the Jesuit was created. It was at the time of the French, of the Protestant Reformation. The most cruel, unscrupulous, and powerful of all the champions of popery devoted for the overthrow of Protestantism and the re-establishment of the papal supremacy. Great controversy. Do me a favor, read this book, especially the last 10 chapters. And unless she was inspired by God, she couldn't write like this for the remnant church. Carol Quigley, professor at Georgetown University, a stronghold of Jesuit teaching. He was a professor there. Listen to what Carol Quigley had to say. The world is ruled by a very small, powerful elite, of which I am a member. America is broken. Let's unite America. Crux, which is like the messenger to the Catholic Church. If Biden is to heal America, he will need his church. Wow. A practicing Roman Catholic president fits with the global papal agenda. How Joe Biden's Catholicism could shape his presidency. I'm not saying that. This is from the newscaster at Fox. Fox is preaching to you, Fox News. Joe Biden's victory speech was saturated with religious affirmation and innuendo, not politics. He said, Grandpa told me to keep the faith, and Grandma reminded me to stay in the faith. Very impressed with the papal encyclical Laudato Si. Keeping Sunday holy to save the planet is in Laudato Si encyclical. The Biden administration is poised to place climate change at the center of US politics. Time magazine, November last year. Biden signs order to cut all gas and coal emissions to tackle climate change, said the Australian newspaper. Welcome Biden, the climate evangelist. Everything fit with the papal agenda. Excuse me. At the stroke of a pen, Biden canceled the $9 billion Keystone Canadian pipeline, affecting 8,000 jobs. That he would control immigration down the southern wall with Brazil and South America by opening the doors that quick. He's creating big problems. Anything smack of Trump, get it out of the way. That's not the way to govern. I'm not going into politics here. I'm talking about prophetical politics. Biden and the Pope Francis could make a climate change miracle. Oh, yes. So man become his own savior. Two key figures of end time prophecy, the Pope in Rome and the president of the US of A in the White House, the Nouvelle Alliance. Now, this is a Protestant Anglican talking about end time prophecy, Alan Rich, whereas some of our pastors, I say it kindly, are scared stiff to talk about end time prophecy. This is the time to wave aloft the standard of truth. a toxic merger between religion and politics, consolidation of America and Papal Rome unfolding before our very eyes. Church and state are combining big time. Biden, first publicly church-going president in decades. Fox News is again talking to us. President-elect Joe Biden before he was anointed. Attending Mass at St. Matthew Catholic in D.C. with his wife in the morning of his ordination or inauguration. Jill, prior to his inauguration, Reverend Kevin O'Brien, a Jesuit priest, conducted the service. And here is Mr. Biden taking the oath. And a Jesuit priest, Leo Odovan, said one of the dedication prayer to Jesuit all the way around. And he's taking an oath on what Bible, it's a heirloom of the family, but what type of Bible is he taking the oath? It's Douay Rheim. Now, Douay Rheim is the Jesuit counter-reformation Bible. So unless you know history, the message is going left, right, center, always to got the Jesuit to call the tune. Whereas our Bible, the King James Version, was based on the Textus Receptus, which was the Bible used by the reformers. King James Bible based on the received text used to fire up and sustain the Protestant Reformation. And he's signing executive orders as if there was no tomorrow. Catholic hero, God's plan to unite all humanity, says Pope, a call for global humanity. This is no time for indifference because the whole world is suffering and needs to be united in facing the pandemic. Reset the world. Adventists, this is no time for indifference. This is the time to preach the three angel message and to sort ourselves out spiritually. One humanity, this is a time for solidarity, no divisiveness, kindness, not hatred. As one humanity, we can fight the COVID-19 pandemic. So this is the platform that gave them a launching pad. The Pope's mission is to unite the world, Cardinal Ludwig Müller. World government boost, buzzword, common good is a mantra of the Jesuit. Solidarity, unity, oneness, fraternity, morality, humanity. They mean well, and if you don't buy into that, you're the naughty boy. Now, look at this encyclical now, Pope Francis' third encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, all brothers. He put that on the public market to tell you that we've got to come together. This is a Jesuit man. He means well, but I've got to read what's happening behind the scene. The Pope signed his new encyclical Fratelli Tutti during a visit to Assisi, Italy on the 3rd of October 2020 on fraternity and social friendship for people of all faith and no faith at all. So come on board, everybody, with an agenda to fulfill. Fratelli Tutti is called the political manifesto of Pope Francis' pontificate. World federalism in Pope Francis' latest encyclical, Fratelli Tutti. The mindset is boggling. The vision proposed by all brothers is the way in which Rome sees the globalization with the eye of a Jesuit. So goodness together with love, justice, and solidarity are not achieved once and for all. The church works for the advancement of humanity and universal fraternity. For many Christians, this journey of fraternity also as a mother whose name is Mary. And Mary, with all due respect, is dead and buried. And Ellen White say, with the introduction of the immortality of the soul, Satan will lead the world captive. She wants to give birth to a new world. How can Mary give birth to a new world? Pope Francis called for a new world order after the pandemic. He, the great advocate of the Great Reset, I repeat, world leaders in call for a pandemic treaty. There will be other pandemics and other major health emergencies. No single government or multilateral agency can address this threat alone. The question is not if, but when. Pandemic is the biggest challenge since World War II. World Health Organization Director General, we must not allow the memory of this crisis to fade away and to go back to business as usual. So they will seize on this opportunity to change the status quo. Famous Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State of the US of A. US of A can't fight virus alone. We need a global government. I need also a globalist. Gordon Brown called for a global government to tackle the crisis. And also does our friend Angela Merkel, and also does Mr. Erdogan, the president of Turkey, called for one world order. Support the Guardian. The Guardian global treaty needed to protect states from pandemic, says world leaders. So they create a pandemic most likely, and now they're seizing on this opportunity to control your life and mine. Let's make our planet, let's take our planet back. So man is the author of his salvation. Now, I'm going to come to the close. Let's look at the divine perspective. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, prick your ear. For I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done. He removes king and he set up king. He removed Obama. He put Trump. He removed Trump. He put Biden in. Who will set up the final kingdom? Daniel 2:44. My kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36. So mankind is bashing their stubborn head against the prophetic brick wall. The God of heaven will establish a final reset, not man. God will reset the planet Earth. What will God do to the kingdoms of the earth when he sets up his kingdom that shall never be destroyed? It shall break down in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. God will have the final word, glory, hallelujah. Revelation 11:15, then the seven angels sounded and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. Daniel the prophet and John the prophet are talking the same language. And when the disciple asked Christ to teach us how to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then came this qualifying statement, thy kingdom come, not the reset by mankind, thy heavenly kingdom come. This world will not end in an overwhelming famine or with a massive earthquake or a tsunami or COVID-19. For 2,600 years, this prophecy has been accurate, and God says the next event in the prophecy is a rock cut out without hands. So at the Bible, Jesus Christ is symbolized as the great rock of ages. Rock is solid, immovable, enduring, and permanent. A tried stone, a precious stone, says Paul, but Christ himself. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sifting sand. We are living at the end of time, and Christ's eternal kingdom is on its way. And the stone that struck the image, says Daniel, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And here Daniel supplies a double emphasis. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Be of sin the double cube, and thou must save, and thou alone. Not the papal system, not America, not China. Thou must save, and thou alone. For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things shall be remembered on come to mind. Here you are, shall not be remembered. Why are you worrying about the new world order? What are you worrying about climate change? I'm not saying you can't do your bit. You got to do your bit, obey the rules. But don't go parading in Trafalgar Square. Don't go parading for climate change, because God has promised he is going to make all things new. Violence shall be no longer be heard, Mr. Lloyd or Floyd, in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your world salvation and your gates praise. Hitting the reset button is the prerogative of Christ, of God. When God hit the reset button, probation closes on the human race. Fingers of a man, hands writing on the wall of the banquet hall, and today the writing, the graffiti is on the wall of the US of a White House in the 10 Downing Street, everywhere, the Champs-Élysées in Paris, pandemonium among the nation. Issachar, the son of Issachar, had an understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. Do you, brethren, have an understanding of the time to know what you ought to be doing right now? And then what picks it up? Ministry of Healing, page 482. In the darkest days, when appearances seem most forbidding, have faith in God. He is working out his will, doing all things well in behalf of his people. The strength of those who love and serve him will be renewed day by day. And his people are in the remnant church. You've got two remnant church, one visible remnant church like Noah's day, and one invisible remnant church, those who are to come out of Babylon. But you, brethren, I'm closing now, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let's not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth right now, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen on you. So the world will be united. The global problem will act as a catalyst that will bring the United Nations, the 10 kings, and the papacy together. America, the image of the beast, will then promulgate the mark of the beast, which is the enforcement of the national Sunday law. Then it goes global. The searchlight of the church-state merger focuses on Sabbath keepers. Provision closes. Mankind reaches the point of no return. The whole world, says Ellen White, was converted and in harmony with the Sunday law, with the exception of the remnant. Paul says, hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want you to now inscribe your name on the chat if you want Bible study. Inscribe your name on the chat or talk to the elder, talk to Pastor Vincent if you want Bible study, if you want to prepare for baptism, say so. This is the time to decide for the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit move on your mindset to change you around. Now, don't forget at 5 o'clock, the seventh kingdom, one is yet to come. Revelation 17:10, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. This is relevant end time prophecy at 5 o'clock. Invite your friend, invite your mother-in-law. Let's meet and study together. God be praised. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Over to you, Elder.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the preaching of the gospel. May it find lodging in our hearts. Bless the hearers, bless your people, bless our brethren in Stoke Newington as they propagate far and near the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Let the people say, Amen.
Amen.
Amen.